We are discussing the Yetzirah, the Yetzirah Tov. We discussed this concept previously in the previous classes. We said the Neshama is in the middle. The Neshama is the spiritual life force that gives energy to the body and everything around it. Around the Neshama is the Yetzirah Tov. It's the best, has the best positioning. So therefore the soul is giving energy straight to the Yetzirah Tov. And from there to the Yetzirah Ra. And around that is the nefesh, which is the lower part of the soul, which is the bodily functions and the body. Okay, so the nefesh is keeping the body alive, which is the lower part of the soul, and around that is the body. So you have neshama. Around the neshama is the yetzirah tov. Around the yetzirah tov is the yetzirah ra, which he said is a klipa. It's a shell. It's a shell of protection, just like the shell of the fruit is protection. How does it protect the soul by keeping alive, by staying alive? What makes a person stay alive? And the answer is the Yetzirah Hatov doesn't make the person stay alive, unfortunately. The Yetzirah Hatov wants to get out of here. The Yetzirah Hatov wants to do good. The spiritual part of the person is pulling the person in the other direction. The Yetzirah is the one that says, hey, ego, I've got to stay alive. I've got to enjoy life. I don't enjoy life. So sometimes you see a person who knocks his Yetzirah completely, and therefore he has no will to stay alive. So it's going to come from the Yetzirah HaTov as well. So therefore the Torah says, makes it a mitzvah. Then you're going to use your Yetzirah HaTov also to stay alive. V'chai b'hem. A person should live by the Torah and not die by the Torah. But that itself became a big machlokah between the Rambam and Tosfot. Right? We're going to talk about it. We talk about the history of the Crusades. What can you give your life for? What can a Jew give his life for? The non-Jew comes along to him and says, eat not kosher. Do you have to give your life or not? No. So Rambam says, no, and if you do, suicide. Tosfos says, you're allowed to. You want to be machmir? You can be machmir. You're going to be strict on giving your life? Give your life. Rambam says, hey, that's not being strict, that's being lenient. That's being lenient on suicide. So big machloket over here, how far can you go? You see that the Yetzirah Tov says, listen, what for? What do I want to stay alive for? I want to stay alive. Save Hashem. They don't let me save Hashem. I don't want to stay alive. So it's amazing how whole communities kill themselves. They committed suicide. We're going to talk. It's amazing how Ashkenazim survived. There's only one or two rabbis who kept Ashkenazi Jewry alive because they kept rolling down the Minhagim of 300-400 years, which would have been gone. Maharil was one of the few who wrote down all the Minhagim of the previous generations who were killed off. Whole communities were destroyed. And Ashkenaz, the Germans were busy killing Jews for centuries. The Holocaust is not something new. We don't realize that. It was not something new. It's based on old German history. They would kill, destroy the Crusades, the First Crusade, Second Crusade, Third Crusades. Every time there's a Crusade, destroy all the Jewish communities in the past. So the German communities were destroyed on the Rhine. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed. Before the Holocaust, this is hundreds of years before. They were experts at killing Jews. It's a miracle that Ashkenaz survived. Anyway, so what I'm trying to talk about is the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah Tov. So the Yetzirah wants to stay alive at all costs. Hashem says, no, not at all costs. There are certain things you got to give your life for. The Yetzirah Tov doesn't want to stay alive at all costs. I want to serve Hashem. I want to be close to Hashem. I want to stay alive. It's a person dies. The highest level of death is called Neshika. By a kiss. Kiss of death. What is a kiss of death? That a person is so drawn to the spiritual that the soul goes out. And so it's like removing a hair from milk. That's the analogy the rabbis give. It's so easy to pull out a hair from milk. Other people, it says, like pulling wool from thorns. People don't want to die. Like pulling wool from the thorns, the soul doesn't want to leave. Why? Because they're so spiritual, they're so materially involved in this world. So the Yetzirah wants to stay alive at all costs. The Yetzirah Tov says, let me go. But sometimes the Yetzirah Hatov, like Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I've got to do mitzvot. So it should come from the Yetzirah Tov, not from the Yetzirah. To stay alive, the will to stay alive should come from the Yetzirah Tov. I didn't finish my mission yet, Hashem. I've got to still do my mission. I've still got a mitzvot to do. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to stay alive at all costs. Why? Because the next world, you can't do anything. You're just it's like a retirement. Spiritual retirement. You're not actually achieving, you're not actually doing good. You're not clinging to God through your choice. It's a natural state. It becomes a natural state. So anyway, so the Yetzirah and Yetzirah Tov are here for us. They're here to help us. The purpose is, the Yetzirah even has the purpose to care for the body. I need to eat, I need to sleep, I need to look after myself. That's the Yetzirah. Yetzirah. But it's the power of the ego. It's the person, self-maintenance. That's the Yetzirah's job. Self-maintenance. Without the Yetzirah, a person would just learn Torah all day and forget about their body. Won't eat, won't drink. right? Forget if to wear socks. Right? You had Einstein on one side, you had Baruch Ber Lipovich. Baruch Ber Lipovich used to drive his wife crazy. His wife was going crazy. This guy didn't eat on time, didn't sleep on time. She's always running after him. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep, he didn't wear a sock. She gets fed up of him. She's sick of him. She goes to the yeshiva. She goes to the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim, I need to speak to you. As soon as she walks into the yeshiva, he stood up for her. The Chavetz Chaim stands up for her. The whole yeshiva stands up for her. She said, what? Why are you standing up for me? You're the wife of Rabbi Baruch Ber. I'm standing up for the Torah. You support the Torah. You're critical for him to survive as a rabbi. I'm standing up for you because you're his wife. Oh, no complaints. All the complaints were gone. All the complaints were gone. She saw that it's worth something, that she's looking after the Sefer Torah. You're looking after the Sefer Torah. It's a big zechut. We talked about on Shabbat, right? The wife of Rabbi Lazar, the daughter of Rabbi Shimon, the wife of Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, was asked by Rabbi, "Can I marry you?" after he died, and she says, "No, I was used for holy purposes. How can I be married to someone not so holy?" Tell me, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. She knew what holiness was, so she's not going to lower herself to a low level. It's wild stuff. Anyway, but that's the job of the Yetzirah. The job of the Yetzirah is to keep the person alive, is to be the protector of the soul. Protector of the soul. Hard to imagine. The Yetzirah is a protector of the soul. How's the Yetzirah protector of the soul? By looking after the body, it's protecting the soul. The body is the vessel of the soul. But the Yetzirah Tov, as well, should also be involved in looking after the soul. And that's why Hashem made it a mitzvah. If it wasn't a mitzvah to look after your body, the Yetzirah Tov would say, what am I doing here? But the Yetzirah Tov also has to look after the body. Nishmartem me'od nafshotem. You have to guard your soul very carefully. So, as salt preserves the meat, we're on page 82, the Yetzirah preserves and cares for the living organism. As a horse helps the rider, the Yetzirah enables interaction with the world. But like a horse, it has to be controlled. And the Gemara says, in Sota, the 3a, the Gemara says, En adam chote elem ken nichnas bo ruach shtut. A person does not sin unless the spirit of foolishness goes into them. What is that? Spirit of foolishness. Where is the spirit of foolishness coming from? So foolishness is when the Yetzirah's narcissistic tendencies of enjoyment. So Yetzirah has to keep us alive. But a person says, you know what, it's not just I want to be alive, I want to have joy. So as it gets into enjoyments, okay, I need this enjoyment, I need that enjoyment, I need that enjoyment. That is the spirit of foolishness that goes in. So it's a very interesting concept. The foolishness takes hold when the Yetzirah's narcissistic nature gains the upper hand. So in other words, up to a point, the Yetzirah is necessary to keep the person alive. You need to have the drive, you need to have the ambitions to stay alive. But beyond that, when it becomes all pleasure, it's all about me, that's when the Yetzirah has taken off, and that's the Ruach Shtut that went into the person. That is the spirit of foolishness. Foolishness is when a person is totally consumed by themselves. It's me. What can I do today? What am I going to eat today? What am I going to do today? Where am I going to go to the store today? I need to buy this. I need this. I need. That is narcissism. What can you do for other people? Or how can you help other people? So this force goes overboard. The person tastes, is absorbed, and tastes the Yetzirah, and is drawn to the Yetzirah, becomes very egotistical, becomes associated with just this desire and satisfaction. That's it. Very similar to our materialistic world today. Just involved in trying to get more and more and more and more, eat more and more and more and more, enjoy more and more and more and more. I want all my senses to be satisfied more and more and more and more. That's very similar. Until we get to the point, like the generation of the flood. What does it say? V'yetzer libo rak rak kol hayom. All their thoughts were evil all day. That's it. So physically they were satisfied, but they wanted more. They wanted desires, all their crazy desires. Rak rak kol hayom. All day long, evil. All day long, evil. So now we see over here, Yetzer machshavot libo. The language used over there is Yetzer machshavot libo. The Yetzer of the thoughts of their heart. One second, the desires of the thoughts of the heart. The Yetzer is the inclination of the thoughts of the heart. What's the inclination of the thoughts of the heart? That's a very powerful idea, right? The inclination of the thoughts of the heart implies that a person's thoughts are pulled in two directions. and this is very critical, it's not like your thoughts are pulled in two directions. Your thoughts govern where you are, Rambam says in Borei Nevuchim. You are where your thoughts are. So my thoughts are in a good place, I'm in a good place. If my thoughts are in a bad place, I'm in a bad place. In other words, I direct my Yetzirah through my thoughts. How do you pilot the system? How do you pilot the Yetzirah? How do you pilot the Yetzirah Tov? How do you pilot your body? How do you pilot yourself? The answer is through your thoughts. Dat. Oh, we're getting close to the Yetzirah Dat now. Dat. A person uses their dart. So our knowledge, the gate of knowledge, we use our knowledge. Dart, we said, is the thoughts of a person. That is the daily thoughts, whatever. So wherever your thoughts are, that's you're actually adding fuel to the Yetzirah. Person has good thoughts, adding fuel to the Yetzirah. Hatov. The person has bad thoughts, adding fuel to the Yetzirah. How do you know which way to go? And the answer is your thoughts are guiding which one is more powerful. The thoughts are the critical key. That's where meditation comes in. The thoughts are the key. So Yetzir Machshavot Libo, the products of the thoughts of the heart. We see that both Yetzirahs are connected with the thoughts and imagery of the heart and mind. Both Yetzirahs use imagery. So Yetzirah will show you imagery which is so beneficial if you have that ice cream. It's going to help you. It's so tasty. The taste buds, I mean, you can already imagine how it's going to taste like. It's so good. It's cool. It's sweet. I'm just giving an analogy, but it's harmless, hopefully. Depends if you're a doctor or not. Harmless. Depends how many calories, whatever it is. Okay, so let's say it's a harmless imitation. Chocolate cake. Wow, chocolate cake. We have very good chocolate cake over here, Shabbat. I didn't have any. I'm trying to control it. But not because of my problems. But anyway, so it's interesting. So you see, the Yetzirah works through the imagery. You can actually taste the stuff. You're not eating it. If you know what it tastes like, you're tasting it already. I can't wait. It tastes so good. I know it tastes so good. So its imagery is affecting the brain. That imagery causes the brain to want it. So you just power the Yetzirah, whatever it is, whichever Yetzirah is pulling you to have that chocolate cake. If it's Shabbat, it could be a Yetzirah Tov. It's Shabbat, enjoy. Oning Shabbat. Could be. It's Oning Shabbat. Only God knows what's pulling you, person. It's amazing. We don't even know ourselves what's pulling us. Is it the Yetzirah? Rab pulling? That person's got to analyze themselves all the time. What's pulling me in this direction? I want to go to this place. I want to see that movie. What's pulling me? Is it Yetzirah Tov? Where's Yetzirah? Sometimes a clear choice. It's a clear choice. So we see the Yetzir Machshava Libo, the products of the thoughts of the heart, that the Yetzirah Tov and the Yetzirah are connected with the thoughts and the imagery of the mind. And both these influence us through our minds. The Yetzirah Tov influences us through our minds. And the truth is, it's very hard to influence a person through the mind unless a person thinks good thoughts. Where did a person get good thoughts from? And the answer, by learning Torah, you're getting good thoughts, hopefully. A person's getting good thoughts from the Torah. A person gets good ideas from the Torah. A person learning about chesed in the Torah. A person learning about speaking Lashon Hara from the Torah. A person's going to imagine certain scenarios. We're going to talk about very powerful meditations which are to do with history in the Torah. A person can imagine yourself at Har Sinai. Powerful. Imagine you're standing at the Red Sea and waiting for the thing to cross, and the Pharaoh's right behind you, and the Egyptian, you can see the dust of their horses coming up, and they say, "Where are you, Hashem? Help us, Hashem!" And you see the sea split, and say, "Wow!" Person's going to imagine this every day. It's one of the 10 remembrances, Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Person's going to remember that we got out of Mitzrayim. It's amazing. Power of Hashem. We saw the power of Hashem. Imagine a person now thinking about the power of Hashem. So that pushes the Yetzirah Tov. That's the imagery that can ignite the Yetzirah Tov. On the other side, a person has bad imagery. All the movies and all the garbage you see around us is too much imagery. A person just thinks about it and they go mad. Crazy. The brain says, I can't, I need it. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to satisfy my desires. Because I see all so many desires. People satisfy their desires. I want to follow. So the more imagery we see, the more it goes into our brains, the more we want it. We're switching on the imagery in the brain. That's how the Yetzirah works. So it's the Yetzirah Tov, we can work through imagery, and the Yetzirah Ra works through imagery. Now a person's got to have good imagery. So I talked about today on Shabbat, about bringing children to shul. Why? So at least they'll see something that can ignite them maybe later on. They'll see a person pray. For goodness sake, how many people? They see a minyan praying. They say, Amen, Yehesh, Amen, Rabbah, Shema Yisrael. They see people doing it. See a person with a tallit over his head, leaves an impact on a kid. So that's why they have something now to imagine. But if they're not there, they never saw it. I used to be in yeshiva in Netivot, in Israel. This is like 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago. And they used to take our shiur. Our shiur is to go and learn in Sderot. Sderot is in the news because now in the Gaza community, right next to Gaza, Sderot, and they built a yeshiva over there, nice. But we used to go there just to have a presence in a synagogue in Sderot, to have a shiur Torah in Sderot. It was like there was nothing, there was no Torah in Sderot. The town next to the border of Gaza, there was not. So our shiur would go, I don't know why our shiur, wherever I went, there's a shiur. I used to go to Mali Adamim, Sderot. Our shiur used to go just to make a Torah presence. Every day they would take us to the bus and bring us back. Just have a presence in Sderot. And we saw kids coming from Moshavim, the Moshav, the Kibbutzim, Shomer HaTzair, on a trip to a synagogue. 5, 6, 7 years old, they would come, and the teacher would say, this is a synagogue. Because a synagogue. They take them to the Aron HaKodesh, they see a Sefer Torah, you can see these guys never saw it in their lives. At least they see it once. But I'm saying, the imagery, you have to have something to see to be able to imagine it. How do you imagine holiness if you've never seen holiness? If you've never been to a shul, how can you imagine holiness? You've never seen the rabbi, you've never seen the people pray, you've never seen a minyan, you've never seen holiness, you've never seen a kiddush. How are you going to imagine it? How do you imagine Shabbat if you never experienced Shabbat? So that these are things that link into a person's imagination and that can feed into the Yetzer HaTov. Because otherwise, if you can't imagine something good, you can't imagine spirituality, how can you imagine, how does the Yetzer HaTov get fuel from? The fuel comes from our thoughts. So you have to be able to see these things. It's amazing. The more you see it, the more it affects you. If you don't see it, you're not immersed in it, it doesn't affect you because you're not thinking about it. So Yetzer Machshevah Debor, such a powerful statement. Such a powerful statement. Okay. So the both Yetzeras are attached to the imagery of the heart and the mind. So can you imagine a person brought up in a totally secular world with all the secular desires and all the materialism and all the media around them? What are their thoughts all day? Two things. I can't say one of them, the other one is money. It's two things, basically. It's all about self-satisfaction, about making it, making it, making it. So, but a person who's seen good things, if you've been to yeshiva and you hear the voice of the Torah, it stays in my mind. I mean, you've got to imagine it. You've got to imagine it. The sweetness of the Torah. You've got to imagine it. You've got to imagine it. It draws you closer. It draws you closer. You imagine your parents sitting around the Kiddush table, getting a bracha from your father, from your mother. It's powerful material. If you've seen it, it's powerful material. If you've been to a great rabbi's class, or you've seen the great rabbi, you've seen Rav Avad Yosef, you've seen great rabbis around you. Today you can see on the movie, but it's not the same. It's being there and witnessing, and you're getting the Torah from Sinai. It's like getting the Torah from Sinai. Okay, so that's how the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov work through our imagery in our minds. So by using positive imagery, we can switch on the Yetzer HaTov. By using negative imagery, we switch on our Yetzer Hara through our imagery in our minds. That's the key. This is powerful, right? It's very powerful. How do you switch on the Yetzer Hara? Think bad thoughts. How do you switch on the Yetzer HaTov? Think good thoughts. Now what happened if you can't control your thoughts? It's the Gemara in Brachot. We did this Gemara a few months ago. The Gemara says, Brachot, Taf Hei Amud Alf. Amar Rabbi Chama, Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama. Rabbi Levi Bar Chama says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Resh Lakish was the classic Baal Teshuva, right? Resh Lakish was a bandit who sees Rabbi Yochanan in the river, and he thinks he's a woman. He jumps over the river, River Jordan, those days was a big river. Now today it's like a little trickle. But still, to jump over from one edge to another, it's a big... You see how big it was, because you see the gap, you see the ditch over there. The ditch is massive. Can you imagine how big that river was, how powerful that river was at one time? So he jumps over the river, and he sees, oh, it's a rabbi. He wants to jump back. He said, hey, hold stop, 1 second. What do you jump over the river for? He said, I thought you were a woman, you look beautiful from behind. He said, well, I have a sister. She's beautiful. You want to marry my sister? Only if you dedicate your strength to Torah study. Wow. He says, okay. Remember guts to make that decision on the spur. How can you make a decision like that? I mean, it's hard. Where do you get that decision-making skill from? That on the spur of the moment, he's willing to... he's a bandit. So he's willing to take risks with his life. This is a major risk he took. He changed his life. So Reish Lakish knows how to fight the Yetzer Hara. He did it himself. This is practical advice. Le'olam yargiz adam Yetzer HaTov al Yetzer Hara. You got to ignite your Yetzer HaTov to fight the Yetzer Hara. Boy, this is power. How do you do that? How do you ignite? You know, it's interesting. Normally, we're not allowed to fight. It's not a good trait to be a fighter. But a Jew's got to be a fighter inside, internal fighter. You got to fight the battle. It's a battle, constant battle inside the person. It's constant battle inside the person. It's a horrible battle. It just goes on. Until the Yetzer wants to kill a person. We have to realize that. The Yetzer wants to kill the person spiritually. point. It's a battle to the death. Save me from my hands of my brother. Save me from the hands of Esav. That's really a person themselves. It's praying for themselves. The hands of my brother, my own brother, my Yetzirah is inside me. He's my brother. My Esav is my brother. We have to be saved from our brother. So we have to ignite the Yetzirah Tov to fight the Yetzirah inside us. The Gemara says, to make a war with him. As it says, David HaMelech says in Psalm 4, fight and don't sin. Fight. You can fight who? You're fighting your spiritual battle. You're fighting inside of you. Fight that fight. If you win, Mutav, it's good. If you don't win, Yasop Torah, learn Torah. What's the Torah going to do to you? How's the Torah going to break your Yetzirah? I've never figured this out till today. How's the Torah going to break your Yetzirah? Because we said the good thoughts in the Torah is going to ignite your Yetzirah Tov. The good thoughts, where you're thinking about Torah. If you're just saying Torah, if you're not really thinking about it, it's not going to help you. Just saying without imagining the words, imagining the scenario, imagining what's going on, it's not going to help you. It's supposed to actually think the Torah. So that's what it says. Imru bilvavchem. You've got to say it in your heart. It's not enough to say it. You have to think it in your heart as well. So we see a very powerful idea. This is the idea we're talking about. Is you ignite your imagination. And when you think about good things, you ignite your Yetzirah Tov. If you think about bad things, that's the Yetzirah. So how do you fight the Yetzirah? You ignite your good thoughts. How do you ignite your good thoughts? You ignite the Yetzirah Tov by igniting good thoughts. By thinking the Devarei Torah. By thinking the Devarei Torah, or automatically you're igniting the Yetzirah Tov. Because what ignites the Yetzer is the thoughts. The key to the Yetzer is the thought. The thought that goes into your head is the ignition of the Yetzer. Suppose there's a bad thought, they just ignited the Yetzirah Tov, Yetzirah, you had a bad thought. The Yetzirah says, oh, I'll take you even further than that. I'll make you think even more things. I'll push you in that direction. I'll give you more visual imaging around that thing. Person thinks good thoughts, get more visual imaging around the good thoughts. That's pushing the Yetzirah Tov. Very powerful. This is a very powerful Gemara. So this is very powerful Gemara. And this is also based on Pirkei Avot, chapter 2, Mishnah 4. Al ta'amin be'asmecha yom utcha. Don't trust in yourself until the day of your death, because this battle is going on till the day of one's death. Even till the second before a person dies is the hardest second, the most important decision in a person's life. Are they going to die with teshuva, with belief in one God, or are they going to say, Hashem, why do you do this to me? Oh boy. At least they're saying Hashem. Or say, I don't believe in you. Oh boy. That's the worst. Imagine the guys in the death camps in Auschwitz. What do they do last? Are they rebelling? Hashem, why you do this to me? It's not fair. They're killing me. And I'd hate this. What kind of world is injustice? I mean, I can imagine. I don't have an answer. I mean, I can't judge these people. You can't judge anyone. You can't judge anyone until you're in their shoes. There's no punishment for apostasy in Jewish law if it was forced. Because who knows what you'd do? There's no punishment. So, but I'm saying, think of the trial. The trial is a person's dying. That's the last trial. That's the last test. How they die. That's why we practice every day. Shema Yisrael, practicing every day. But we have to imagine these scenarios so we'll know how to act. As the Rabbi Akiva said, I prayed for this every day. I imagined this scenario every day when I said Shema, I want to die al Kiddush Hashem. So if I'm here, of course I'm going to do it. Because I imagine this every day, of course I'm going to do it. So the question we have is, how does a person get angry? It says to anger one's Yetzirah. Get the Yetzirah Tov, angry against the Yetzirah. So on the one hand, we know anger is very bad. So over here we see this kind of anger is good. It's called a righteous anger. How can you make me rebel against my Creator? You want me to rebel against Hashem? You're mad. You're crazy. I'm going to fight you. I'm going to beat you. How can you do this to me? So you go to someone's house and he gives you non-kosher food. You give me non-kosher food? You're tripping me up. You want to lose my yeah, I want you to lose your Gan Eden. Imagine, person will go crazy. You dafke, you want to do that? Yeah. You're going out of your way to lose my Gan Eden? Yeah, I want to do it. I want to make you lose your Gan Eden. Of course I'm going to get angry. So that's the way a person should get their Yetzirah Tov angry. Get them angry against the Yetzirah, wants to kill you. So it's important not just to read Torah, but it's important to think Torah. And that's the hard part. To think Torah all the time, that's even harder. So as long as a person thinking Torah, a person thinking pure thoughts, the Yetzer HaTov is ignited. As long as they start thinking materialism and physical thoughts, and it starts, that's the slippery slope. It's so hard to think physical thoughts and not go down that slippery slope. It's like you go to the grocery store and you say, what do I need and what do I want? You go to the other stores, you go, what do I need and what do I want? So what you need, that's good. What you want, that's debatable. So, but we all need something. We need to bribe ourselves a little bit. In this world, a person needs to bribe themselves a little bit. Especially in today's society where these things help, you know, these things. Anyway, so very powerful idea. The imagery is very powerful. That you are where your thoughts are. If the thoughts are good, I'm going to the Rambam. This is the end of Issurei Be'ah. Forbidden relationships. Amazing Rambam. Forbidden relationships. He's got 22 chapters on forbidden relationships. As you can see, it's a lot, big topic. There's many things which are forbidden, very few things allowed. Basically, you get married and that's it. So you gotta have a kosher person to get married to. It's not, you can't just marry anyone. So he talks about things to keep away from, to stop a person from becoming immoral. Number one, going to comedy clubs. Interesting. Rambam talks about laughter, which brings a person to immorality. So, you know, laughter which has no morality to it. Just making a mockery of this, a mockery of that, mockery, nothing sacred. In that laughter, nothing is sacred, then it brings a person to going to becoming immoral. Number two, shechrut. What's shechrut? Drunkenness. Person gets drunk, it's going to lead a person astray. We know that Lot was drunk. We know Noah got drunk, and we know what happened to Noah. Songs. Immoral songs. And then he says, "V'lo yeshev lo isha." I don't stay single. Shemin hagzeh gorim betarat yetera. Getting married, one man, one woman, causes a person's purity. Very, very powerful. Furthermore, the rabbi said, "Yifnei atzmo machshavato ledivrei Torah." A person should put their mind again. Should have time. Says, mind will be full of Torah. V'yachiv da'ato b'chokhmah. And increase the wisdom in his brain. Okay, because immorality only has strength in a heart which is free of wisdom. Amazing. So in other words, again, it's your thoughts. The thoughts feed the yetzer. The drives are fed by our thoughts. So a person thinking in a certain way, you trigger your yetzer. How do I trigger my yetzer? You thought about it. So what I do now? Think something else. Change that. Click on the button. It's so hard to do. Change that thought. It's so hard to take a person away from that train. The train, once the train leaves the station, how do you get it back? So the answer is you have to change that train of thought. You've got to stop the train of thought and start a new train of thought, a good train of thought. The trouble is it happens in seconds. These things happen in split seconds. The mind is here, the mind is there, the mind is here. We're going to talk about this amazing concept. This amazing concept. Why is the mind here? Why is the mind there? We have to go back to Gan Eden to understand. Amazing. So the Yetzer HaRa starts with fantasy and emotion. The Yetzer HaTov is closer to the Neshama with intellect. So by regular use of positive imagery, you may counteract, train, or transform the Yetzer HaRa. Wow, Levi, we can do that. Wow, that's amazing. So through refining the Yetzer HaRa, Rav Nachman says, the power of fantasy. If you can refine your power of fantasy to fantasize about good things, have you fantasized about good things? You know, boy, Hashem, give me, I want to win the lottery so I can build the big yeshiva. Wow, can I have the biggest yeshiva in the world? Imagine a person fantasizing. Halavai, we can fantasize these things. Imagine. Yeah. I just read about the religious guy in Yerushalayim. He just won the lottery in Israel. He says, this is the second time I won the lottery. He said, yeah, what was the first time? He said, when I got married, I won the lottery. Isn't that great? When I met my wife, I got married to my wife, though, I won the lottery. This is the second time I won the lottery. Is it beautiful? Is it beautiful? He won the lottery. He won the lottery. He says, but we didn't do anything right now because my wife is busy preparing for Rosh Hashanah. That's beautiful. Very beautiful. So a person goes, no, we won the lottery. How many times have we won the lottery in life? Well, depends what a person did with their lives. So they pass certain thresholds in their lives. You won the lottery. A person can realize, I won the lottery in this, I won the lottery in that. But again, a person's going to fantasize. What happened? Hashem, give me the money. You know, I had a guy, he was an old-time, one of the old-timers here. He would come every morning to see the building. He was very much involved with the building. He didn't have spirituality, but they worried about the building. which is very good, very close to the shul. And he told me, he says, Rabbi, he says, I went to visit him, he's dying of cancer. What is he thinking about? Rabbi says, I bought a lottery ticket, I want to give the money to the shul. If anything, if I win, I'm going to give all the money to the shul. What a beautiful fantasy. What a beauty. He's building things in his head. He's building good things in his head. That's what we fantasize about. We should fantasize about that. Our children will be big rabbis, have big academies, our grandchildren will fantasize about it. So that's a good fantasy. That's a fantastic fantasy. The fantasy, Jewish fantasy is, let's fix the whole world under God's, you know, have the Isaiah wall, right? No man shall fight with his neighbor, all the swords will beat into plowshares. These are fantasies, the fantastic fantasies. These are positive fantasies. Halabai will see it in our day. Imagine take all the defense budget into education, into healthcare. Amazing. What a fantastic fantasy. So by use of positive imagery, we can counteract, train, or transform the Yetzirah. But it says, this fantasy is even better than your fantasy Yetzirah. This fantasy is fantastic. There's no more sickness, there's no more wars, there's no more this. This is better than your fantasy. What is your fantasy? This beats your fantasy. That's how you beat the Yetzirah, by having a better fantasy. Amazing. That's amazing. It's an amazing idea. So every time a person acts on the inclination, increase the energy of the Yetzirah. So correct choices create good energy, bad choices create bad energy. Good thoughts create good energy, bad thoughts create bad energy, and the same thing applies to actions. Okay, so very, very powerful concept. The Yetzirah and the Yetzirah Tov. Very powerful. So Yetzer Machshavot Libo. The Yetzerah starts with fantasy and emotions. The Yetzerah Tov starts with intellect. So what is this Yetzerah? Where does it get its power from? And the answer is, we say in the Shema every day, Elohim Acherim. You go after other gods. So the other gods, what is the other gods? The answer, other gods are inside us. These other gods are the Yetzirah, which leads us away from the true God. Anything which leads you away from the true God is other gods. So a person wants other drives, other things. You know what? I don't want to learn Torah. I don't want to pray. I don't want to go about God. I just want to do other things. What other things? That's Elohim Acherim. Elohim Acherim. Other gods. They have the source in Elohim Kedoshim. Other gods also have their source in God. Everything is created by God. So what are the other gods created for? The other answer is to give you a test. Everything is created to give you a test. Otherwise we have no test in this world. We won't get any reward. So, but by thinking good thoughts, we are training and transforming the Yetzirah. So Yetzirah now has something good to think about, instead of something bad to think about. So Yetzirah, listen, I'm not interested in that. I want something else. Yeah? Like, what do you want? Where's it going to get you? Well, imagine, it's going to be this. Like a Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 students. Can you imagine walking around 24,000 students behind you? You can't do that for me, Yetzirah Ra. Imagine 24,000 students. Can you imagine a funeral of 800,000 people? Where do you see that in the world today? 800,000 people. Tell the Yetzirah, look, where can you get me? Look at all these big guys who die. How many people came to the funeral? 300? 500? 5,000? 800,000 people! Where do you get that kavod? Yes, right. You can't give me that kavod. Only the Yetzirah Tov can give me that kavod. Amazing. So a person's going to fantasize. Who's that rabbi in Cleveland? Gifter, Rabbi Gifter. He had all these Rebbe cards. And he had a space on his wall. Why not you? And eventually he got his name up there. His picture's up there. He's on the Rebbe cards. So he's fantasizing something good. Fantasizing, I can do it. I can achieve spirituality. I can be one of the great rabbis of the generation. That is amazing conscious. So it's a very powerful way of turning on and off the Yetzirah and turning on and off the Yetzirah Tov. The way we think, the way we fantasize. What do we fantasize about? Very, very powerful. So the imagination, emotion, and the imagination influence both Yetzirahs. That's amazing. So that's why the Musar school, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, it's not just the intellect, it's also the emotion. Because the emotions also motivate a person. you love your parents. If that emotion is not there, it's very hard. You don't have that emotion, then it's a dead love. It's half dead. It's an intellectual love, but it's not an emotional love. Right? So you gotta have both. You can have the intellectual love and you can have the emotional love. The emotional love is stronger than the intellectual love, usually. The trouble, which comes first? What comes first, the emotional love or the intellectual love? So Rambam, when he talks about loving God, he says the intellectual love comes first. The more a person thinks about what God did for us, the more a person thinks about what Hashem created the world and all the things that God gave, the chesed of Hashem, that will ignite the emotional love. Halavai. Halavai, it's so easy. A person's got to think more. We've got to think more about it. So it's a very powerful idea that our thoughts are the key to motivating both the yetzers is through the thoughts. We think, and it takes it to the next step. The Yetzirah takes it to the next step. You think good things, and the Yetzirah Tov takes it to the next step. And if you can influence your Yetzirah Hara through your good thoughts, you can train the Yetzirah Hara. Powerful. Train the Yetzirah. But that doesn't motivate me. That doesn't get me anywhere, Yetzirah Hara. Imagine this. This is what you should be imagining. This is what I want to go. This is where I want to go. Fantasize about where you want to go. And the Yetzirah Hara says, "Whoa, I didn't know that. Okay, let me go that way as well. I'll take you there."
You call that like active imagination?
Active imagination, yeah. Passive imagination is dangerous. Because we know a person doesn't have anything to think about. The mind just gives garbage. It's automatic. The garbage is automatic. The pit is empty. There's no water. There's no Torah. There's no good things. It's full of pit. Snakes and scorpions. So the best way is by imagining, seeing yourself in a good behavioral mode and enjoying it. You're in the class and you're enjoying it. Boy, I'm enjoying it. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I wouldn't be otherwise. If I wasn't enjoying it, I wouldn't be otherwise. Why would I do something I don't enjoy? I'll be a professor. I'll be an engineer. I'll do something else. I did something else. I said, don't enjoy it. I'm enjoying it. But if you make it enjoyable, and tell you, listen, this is enjoyable. It's fantasize, it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable. Yes, sir, I says it's enjoyable. Oh, I got to train myself to be enjoyed by this. This is, so that's why I say it's an acquired taste. That the Yetzirah will acquire the taste to celebrate Yom Kippur and enjoy Yom Kippur. Wow! How does the Yetzirah enjoy Yom Kippur? There's nothing for it. Well, you can talk in shul. I don't know. But the Yetzirah feels. Why? Because if it develops, the brain develops some kind of attachment to it and it thinks it's enjoyable. The Yetzirah also finds it enjoyable. Because the Yetzirah is interested in furthering your physical health. He says, wow, this is good for your physical health. The person says to the Yetzirah, your job is you're the klipa, you're the protector of my body. And this is good for my body. There's a mind-body connection. And if my soul is doing well, you'll also do well. Yetzirah says, I don't have any arguments. You're right. You're right. We all need Yom Kippur. It's good for our psychology. It's good for our spirituality. It's a good rejuvenation for a person to go through Yom Kippur and be cleansed. You feel good. Afterwards, you feel good. Even the Yetzirah feels good. Feels good. Everyone feels good. The whole person feels good. You've been cleansed. You've been through the washing machine. It's clean. So that should a person should recall that feeling of cleanliness, and think about it, and fantasize about it. I want to be like clean. I want to be like that every single day. Halavai, we can get to that level. It's a special day. So, this is the meditative technique advocated by Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, Rabbi Huda Levi, Sefer Maspik. All right, a pious man. This is a Kuzari, Rabbi Huda Levi. Mr. Huda Levi, just talked about him. He was one of the great rabbis of Spain, just before the Rambam. Okay, so in the 10th century. Rabbi Huda Levi, 10th century, Shlomo Ibn Gamliel. We're going to mention all the tefillot, the songs we're going to sing on Rosh Hashanah. If you come before Baruch Sheamar, it's around, what time is that? Around 9 o'clock. If you come around 9 o'clock, early bird gets the worm. The early person gets these songs, these songs will ignite your soul. If you read the words in English, it's ignite your soul, amazing, powerful, beautiful praises of God. Rabbi Huda Levi and Ibn Gabirol, two great poets and amazing rabbis, amazing guys. So Rabbi Huda Levi wrote the Kuzari. And in the Kuzari he says, the pious person uses his imagination to conjure up the best thoughts they can recall. To imagine the Sinai revelation. Can you imagine? You're a Har Sinai. It's hard to even imagine. So you saw the movie, The Ten Commandments. There's all kinds of movies coming out. But it helps you a little bit, trigger something. The trouble is it triggers something, but you have to try and remember it and think even bigger than that, because it's a movie. You're limited by making a movie, right? So it's amazing. And kids should be exposed to these things so that they can also imagine it. Wow, it blows the mind. Blows the mind. See, Hashem writing the tablets. It blows the mind to think about that. You're there and you're hearing Hashem's voice. And you say, wow, scary, awesome. But you know what? It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. When the Mashiach comes, it's going to happen again. And most people are not going to be ready for it. They're going to blow their minds. They're going to die. You're not going to be ready for it. That's why it says, "Hinei anochi shaleh lachem et Eliyahu Navi lefnei bo yom Hashem." I'm going to send you Eliyahu Navi before the day of judgment, before the great day. Why? Because he's going to teach you how to handle this revelation, handle the prophecy. We're going to go through this again. Halavai, soon. So we should use our imagination to imagine these great events. Can you imagine you're there at Har HaKarmel watching Eliyahu Navi bring fire from heaven? Imagine trying to imagine these things. Moshe Rabbeinu is splitting the Red Sea. It's powerful. It's powerful stuff. Little kids can imagine if you talk to them and explain to them and it blows their minds. Sometimes they get scared. You gotta watch out because you scare them a little bit. They say, wow. But they tell them good things, wow. And they see Paro is in the sea and they say, what about the horses? What do the horses do? So the whole question comes out. Because they're imagining in their heads. So we have to imagine these things. So we have to imagine ourselves in scenes that inspire enthusiasm, divine worship. Halavai, we can see David HaMelech playing songs. The Kohanim, that's something we miss in the Beit HaMikdash. We can't see these things. We don't see the Levites playing music in the Beit HaMikdash. We don't see the smoke going straight up. We don't see the image of the fire was shaped in the form of a lion. I mean, hard to imagine. Miracles, all these miracles in the Beit HaMikdash. Not a single fly. There's meat around, there's not a single fly. What happened to flies? And the rain is falling and the smoke is going up straight. The wind is blowing, the smoke is going up straight. So how do you see that? These are images that we don't see, we don't have to imagine about even. So a person's got to read it and have a good imagination. You read these stories and you have to imagine it, try and think about it. And that's something which we have to work more on because it's not really talked about. That's the trouble. It's not talked about. Just the Kuzari talks about it, Sefer Maspik talks about it, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter talks about it. Imagine, so you're reading the Az Yashir Moshe. We read it every day. But do we imagine the scene? And that's the problem. The power comes from the imagination. If we're not imagining, just saying it, it's not in our heart, it's not going to change anything. That's the trouble. We have to bring it to the level where we actually imagine it. If we imagine it, we can fantasize about it. We're triggering the Yetzer HaTov. We're triggering our Yetzer HaTov. Wow, look at the power of God. Halavai, we can see this power of God. Listen, I was just reading an article, very nice article, OU Magazine. The president of OU sent out an email. He said, listen, he said, on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to talk about the kingship of God. Where do we see the kingship of God? Where do we see the power of God today? And the answer is we saw it. Harvey. It's called Harvey. We saw it Irma. We saw the power of God just overnight can smash and destroy it. The power of Hashem. You can see the power of God. With all the technology today, we cannot control natural events. Natural events are power of God. That's the last thing we have to see, to imagine something about the power of God. So the person hears thunder. Shekoch of Rotom. It's all inspiring. Thunder is all inspiring. It's right next to you. Bam! A clap of thunder. Kochok Rotom Male Olam. His strength fills up the world. It's nearly as bad as a sonic boom. F-16 is flying overhead. Oh boy. This is scary as well. It's very scary. I was in Israel recently in my son's house in Beit Shemesh, and on Shabbat morning. 7 o'clock in the morning, two F-16s fly right up. Phew, what a noise, boy. Whole place, a rumble. That rumble is an amazing rumble. It's an amazing rumble, those engines. Wow. So I woke everyone up. 7 o'clock is good. Woke up just in time for Shacharit. I know that was the intention. The said, hey, what's going on in Syria? You don't know, who knows what's bombing in Syria? Then there was a bombing in Syria. Who knows what they did over there? It's amazing, amazing. But these are things that a person is going to remember. What things can bring them close to Yad Shemayim? Things you saw in your youth. Family sitting at the table, set a table, leaves a big impact in the kids. You see, you go to a class, you go to shiur, you see. So these are things that a person is going to fantasize about, think about, because the thinking triggers the Yetzer HaTov. Thinking good things triggers the Yetzer HaTov. We have to amuse our imagination, imagine scenes that inspire enthusiasm. This is meditation. It's a very powerful, very simple meditation. just meditate about something which triggered you spiritually. Meditate about it. Think of a scene that can move you spiritually. What's the most powerful scene? Think of the two women who came to Shlomo Melech. This is my baby. The other one said, no, it's my baby. Okay, bring a sword. Think about the scene, the whole thing. And think about his wisdom. And they say, wow, the guy's smart. Wow. Wow, how do you do that? How do you? Amazing. Wow. Okay. So two types of imagery are being produced by the Yetzirah. Okay, so we operate in two worlds. We operate in two levels. We operate in the physical and the spiritual. So the physical imagery, oh, that was good food. That was lovely. I had a good time. Chinese food, sushi. I didn't like the same thing, but whatever. So everyone has their own triggers that trigger physicality, trigger materialism. So that's the answer to that. Consider for survival. Projecting yourself into the physical world, a self-centered imagery produces narcissistic, even moral behaviors. Satisfy yourself. It's good. Why not? Let loose a little bit. Go ahead. That's the Yetzirah talking to a person and using imagery. The Yetzirah of concern with the soul tends to be transcendental and divine. The trouble is we don't have enough spiritual imagery to think about. That's a trouble. Most people don't have that spiritual imagery to think about. Most Jews today are not linked in, so they don't have that concept of spiritual imagery. You know, it's amazing. You look at the Reform Movement. I was reading the High Holiday material. Who's the hero? Martin Luther King is the hero. He's the hero. I'm telling you. I'm reading it. Who's the hero of the Reform Movement in America? Martin Luther King. He's the hero. Okay, he's a great man. I'm not saying he's not. Nelson Mandela. He's the hero. More than Moshe Rabbeinu. Where's the imagery coming from? This is the imagery. So who's our imagery? We have to try and imagine all the greats. Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. That's what we talk about. That's what we're reading about. Sarah. Hannah. How these old women who were barren couldn't have children. And all of a sudden, Hashem opened their wombs. That's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah is about childbirth. Rosh Hashanah is a day where you can't get what you want. And you ask for a gift from God. And God says, here you are. I'll give it to you. But you just have no idea to ask. You ask for whatever you want, you get. It's amazing. So that's the imagery you're trying to project. The imagery you're trying to project is God is the king. God remembers all the events in history. Nothing's hidden from him. And there's the power of the shofar that can just break through decrees. The power of the shofar. Shofar will just break through the decrees. So that's the tribe of imagery. So the imagery is very, very powerful. The tribe of imagery we're trying to teach our children. We have to know what imagery we're trying to feed into people's minds. And our minds, forget about people, what about ourselves? What are we feeding into our minds? What do we think about on Rosh Hashanah? One of the things we do, we go to Tashlich. Why do we go to Tashlich? Because the river reminds us where they anointed the king. And we anointed the king, Hashem, by the river. It's a terrific imagery. A person says, Keter Yilulecha. A person can imagine, I'm giving a throne on Hashem's head. Hashem doesn't have a head and Hashem doesn't have a throne. I'm putting the crown on Hashem's head. It's a powerful imagery. I'm actually, with my tefillah, I'm going to put a crown on Hashem's head. It's such a powerful thing. Hashem says, you put a crown on my head. My son, my daughter, you put a crown on my head. I'll give you whatever you want. So this is powerful stuff. So this is very, very important imagery. So the Yetzirah is producing physical imagery. So every country wants to show they're powerful. They have their own imagery to show their power. Right? They have their museums, they have their history, and everything's projecting their power. That's the Yetzirah, projecting power. The Yetzirah Tov doesn't project power, projects spirituality. Goodness, kindness, morality. It's hard to imagine these things and make them desirable in your eyes. How do you make it desirable? How do you make these things? You imagine the good things and you say, wow, I had such a good time. I enjoyed it. Yeah? You have people like that. They come and they hear the hazan. It's, wow, it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable. So now you imagine that and say, wow, I want to be there. I want to hear this. I want to go earlier. I want to be there. It's amazing. People come here early in the morning for Slichot, and they're motivated. How are they motivated? It's what motivates them. And the answer is just hearing the tefillah, does something to their neshama. It does something to their neshama. Just getting that purity, getting the connection to Hashem. So that's what a person could imagine. So which of the yetz has influence to determine our thoughts, speech, or deeds depends on the focus of the conscious mind. It's what your mind is focused on that triggers the thoughts that trigger the yetzah. It's the Yetzer Makshavot Libor. It's the Yetzer of your Makshava, of your heart, of your thoughts. That triggers the Yetzer. When the focus is on the body, honor, or self-gratification, Yetzer HaRa. person's focusing on. Kavod. He didn't say hello to me today. I'm very upset with this guy. This guy, I'm so upset with this guy. He didn't give me enough. He didn't stand up for me. This guy didn't do that. It's all yetzara. It's all yetzara. It's all kavod. If the motivation is unselfish. You know, sometimes you have fights in school between the faculty. Why? What direction should we take? I teach Kurdish. I'm teaching Kurdish. And then the whole teacher comes to me and says, listen, you're teaching too much Kurdish. The kids are, all their minds are full of Aleph Bet. They're not talking ABC. They can't get the ABC. Can you slow down the Aleph Bet? I said, no, I'm not going to slow down. So now, are you doing it because of honor? Are you doing it because of the kids? I don't know. These are hard questions. You find the battle of Hashem. But are you fighting for yourself? You're fighting for Hashem. So the rabbis say, Hillel and Shammai. Look at the classic case. Hillel and Shammai, they fought Hashem Shammai. All the arguments were purely for the sake of truth. That's it. So hard. Because we're involved in an argument, you see other people latching in, and it becomes a whole big... We talked about Shabbat, how they burnt the books of the Rambam. First the rabbis were involved, but then it degenerated, and then you got the mobs involved, you got idiots involved, you got even the pagans involved, and the other people involved, the French guy involved, and they burnt the books of the Rambam, then they burnt the books of the Talmud. And then they woke up. A bit late. I'm just saying that the danger over here of fighting, even for the right reason, sometimes it can be very dangerous. So Hillel and Shammai knew the balances. They knew the balances. So the halakha is like Hillel. Why? It says he always put Beit Shammai's view first. If you look at the Mishnah, Beit Shammai is mentioned first, always mentioned first. He delved into Beit Shammai. Is it truthful? Is it not truthful? What is it going to lead to? He put it first, and then he talked, he said his opinion. More humble. Halakha is like Hillel. Bitter. Okay, so a person has to meditate on good things, and the meditation of good things will feed the Yetzer HaTov. Since the Yetzer HaTov is closest to the Neshama, it associates with holy aspirations. So Yetzer HaTov works with quiet reflection. So that's why the rabbis always said, keep away from anger, it can disturb Yetzer HaTov. The Yetzer HaTov works very quietly. The more you get excited, the less Yetzer HaTov is involved. It's interesting. This person is a calm person. It's a very good sign. Doesn't get excited. Doesn't get irritable. Doesn't get angry. Always even keel. Beautiful sign. That means the Yetzer HaTov is in control. That's one of the simanim for the Yetzer HaTov is in control. Person always flipping up. Excited. The Yetzer HaTov. It's very hard for him to manipulate. It's very hard to live. So that's why the rabbi said, keep away from anger. I said, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. What happened? He lost halachot. He forgot. Right, he got angry with the Aron, he forgot the halakha about an onen cannot eat the korban. A person who just lost a relative cannot eat the korban. He had an argument with the Aron and his sons. Right? So it's important not to get angry. Shibun HaMorim, Moshe Rabbeinu lost it and hit the rock. He lost it, he lost everything. The son of the Rambam, we said Rambam's only one son survived, Rabbi Abraham, who became the chief rabbi of Egypt at the age of 18, and also the doctor at the age of 18. He says in his commentary on the stories in the Gemara. Right, he has the introduction. Ein Yaakov. We have the Ein Yaakov here. Ein Yaakov is the stories. Beautiful. If you want to find great stories, just go through the Ein Yaakov. The trouble is understanding the story is something else. But the stories are beautiful. Just take them, read them, know them. And if you understand them, you understand. If you don't understand them, you've got to realize they're deep. You don't understand them. I don't understand them, but they're deep. Don't dismiss them. They have a message. So he writes in his introduction to Ein Yaakov, by increasing meditative thinking, you can subdue your yetzara in the race towards the crass and the immoral. The yetzer hatov is the intellect, the yetzara is the bodily desires. This is something, I'm just giving you the Rambam, son, Rabbi Abraham ben Rambam. One should make sure that the intellect always rules over the bodily pleasures. This should be uppermost in the mind. If thought alone is enough to subdue desires, that is best. If not, a person should enhance their thinking by chanting and saying verses and words that will increase the thoughts and stop the mind from thinking the other thoughts. Exactly what the Gemara said, the Gemara Brachot, Daf Hey, about using the thoughts, good thoughts against the bad thoughts. But how do you get good thoughts? The answer is sometimes you've got to say the verses and think about the verses, like that's a meditation. You're using the verses as a meditation to increase your good thoughts, and then that could power away the bad thoughts. Amazing. Okay, let's just finish off with this beautiful idea we have to start it with next week. This is a very powerful idea. Because both yetzes feed off the neshama's energy. Very famous Gemara. The greater the neshama, the greater the strength of the energies of the yetzara and the yetzratov. Kol ha-gadol mechaviro, yitzro gadol emenu. What is greater than his friend? What do you mean greater than a friend? The more, the bigger the battery, the bigger your power, right? You see these cars now, Tesla, right? The bigger the battery, the further that car can go. The bigger the spiritual energy, the more the yetzara's drive is bigger. And the yetzara tov's drive is also bigger. All the drives are bigger because the battery pack is bigger. The neshama is the battery pack. It powers, gives you more power, more energy. So if a kol gadol mechaviro, whoever's got a bigger neshama, yitzro gadol ben. This is very powerful. Let's see Reish Lakish. How did Reish Lakish the bandit become the great rabbi? And the answer is he was a great bandit, which he had a great yetzer. Why do you have a great yetzer? Because his neshama is big. Ah, that's the guy you want to get. The guy with the big yetzer, right? You see this in children. The biggest, toughest guys, who is busy and active and bossy and fighters, they're the biggest, best kids eventually, if you can get them. If you can change them into the best kids, they become the best kids. Because they have that motivation, they have the great neshama inside them, powering them. They just don't know how to do it. They just don't know which way to go. They're mixed up, confused. So if you can harness that energy that they have, you make this person becomes the top. Reish Lakish became the top. Number two in the Jewish world. Number two, he became to Rabbi Yochanan. And he says he was number one. He could have been number one. Probably was number one. Rabbi Yochanan couldn't live without him. So that's the idea. Kol ha-gadol mechaviro. Gemara in Sukkah, daf nun bet, 52a. Whoever's greater than his friend. What do you mean greater? Spiritually greater. Bigger soul. His yetzera will also be bigger. It doesn't say yetzera. It says yitzro gadol emenu. His yetzera is also bigger. Which yetzera? Both. Both yetzeras are bigger. Why? Because the energy pack is bigger. Now the yetzeras are motivated. The yetzeras have got energy. So even a spiritually advanced person, there's an increased danger of the shell taking over. Because the power of the soul is so big. Instead of giving the power to the Yetzer HaRa, gives us the Yetzer HaRa. It can very easily channel that energy to the wrong place. That's the problem. The problem is there's energy, and you have to channel that energy. If you don't channel that energy properly, the energy will be used by the Yetzer HaRa. If you don't channel it to the Yetzer HaTov, it's going to be used by Yetzer HaRa. Everyone's going to know this energy is there. The soul is there. It's the energy. It's powering. Which way does it go? Depends on your thoughts. Depends on your choices. That's what the thoughts are. Okay, I have to stop here. But next week, I got amazing Gan Eden. We're going to go to Gan Eden. What does it mean? The cherubs.